Hey, this is Alan with Game Grooves, and I'm here with Andrew to talk about his upcoming album. It might be out by the time this podcast is aired, but right now it's coming out Friday, October 2nd, Dreaming of Starbits. And this is an album that's really special because it's the first of the Quickfire Album Challenge albums. So for those that don't know, Gangrooves recently sponsored or produced a few EPs from several different artists. Andy Rue, D Major, Gundeslam, and a few more people, just to name a few. And Andrew's album is going to be a collection of tracks from Super Mario Galaxy. So, I'd like to ask Andrew, first of all, possessed you to enter this challenge to create an album in basically 2 months with a little bit of change?
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory, I guess, to kind of contextualize it. At the beginning of the pandemic hitting Oregon with everything shut down, I sort of started with my newfound free time. I was like, hey, I want to make video game covers because I've always wanted to do that, and I had never really had the time or told myself I had the time, and so this was the best time to start. And so as I was doing that and sort of getting better at the home recording process, I was also trying to find every opportunity that I could to find new ways of doing that and participating in the community, because I had just discovered this huge community on Twitter and Discord and all over of people who love video game music and love to cover it. I was just looking for any way to get involved. And so I had found Game Grooves. I had already participated in one or two Quickfire challenges.
Yep.
And it was super fun. And so I saw this and went, holy crap, an album. Absolutely. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I figured why not? Might as well do the best thing I can with the opportunities that are in front of me.
And now, do you regret it?
I don't, actually. There were maybe moments in the process where it was a lot more work than I had anticipated.
Right.
But now that it's done and I can just look forward to the release, I am super excited. And it was totally worth all the effort.
From my perspective, having heard the album myself and listening to it pre-mastered and mastered, I would definitely say it's worth it. I think it came together really well. I remember your pitch. So for those that don't know, I'm going to provide some background context. What I did is I asked people to pitch their albums. And I think I got I can't remember the exact number, but it was a decent number of pitches, more than I expected. In fact, originally I was only going to produce 3 albums, but I got so many albums that I just loved, I was like, I can't choose this 3. And my bank account still hates me for that. But ended up going with 6. One person had to drop out, unfortunately. But there's more on that, maybe. I won't go into that now. It doesn't matter. Point is, I remember your pitch, I think, was the most detailed out of everybody's. You went into great detail about the recording process and your plans and what you wanted to do with the music. And, I hesitated providing a template. Ro sent me something that I used because I really wanted people just to be creative. And there were some really creative ideas. Yours was creative in the sense that it's here, let's take this sweeping orchestral, lush arrangement and simplify it, right? Mm-hmm. To prove your point was these are great melodies that stand on their own. They don't need a ton of bells and whistles, so to speak.
Yeah.
Distilled to their simplest core, they're still good pieces of music. And I think you proved that point very well.
Awesome.
You chose some really great tracks for the album as well. So yeah, I remember being impressed by your pitch just because you clearly went into a lot of detail about, you clearly had a plan, even if you hadn't done something like this before, which from talking with you, it seems like this was your first foray into album making, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So, that was what really impressed me and one of the reasons that I picked your album, and I'm so glad it did. So I guess the next question would be, what was the experience producing the album? Were there any surprises, first of all? Was there anything where you were just not expecting something? Probably the level of work.
Yeah. I think so. I did do the music school thing. I have a degree in composition, so making, like, busting out music to deadlines is not a new thing for me. What was new was the recording and mixing ordeal, you know, to coming up with all the parts myself. My experience is mostly I write down the music on paper and then let other people deal with it. Let them play it, you know, maybe set up a performance, but it's not my job to make the sound. And so I was sort of, I definitely was confident in my ability to do that, but I had never truly recorded, what is it? It's probably like 50 tracks throughout all the different songs, and mixing it all together to a standard that I would be happy with in a year or 5 years from now.
Right.
You know? And so I think the most, like, a big chunk of the time that I spent on this album was just mixing, because I needed it to be exactly what was in my brain. And so I think I spent, like, I had these deadlines that I had marked for myself that I had included in the pitch, and I missed all of them. none of the deadlines were met when I was supposed to have met them. But the most surprising was actually the arrangements. I had planned for 2 weeks to arrange all five tracks, and then I was going to record all five tracks, and then I was going to mix all five tracks. And what actually happened was that I spent about a month and a half on the arranging process, because I had fallen into this pitfall of each track needing to be absolutely perfect before I even record anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted the arrangement to be immaculate, which was one of my own things I had to kind of overcome.
So how did you overcome that? I mean, was it like writer's block, or was it just you kept fiddling with it and you weren't happy?
It was definitely a writer's block perspective. I would critique the ideas I had before writing them down.
Okay.
And so it was sort of this like overwhelming inability to get ideas out, which a lot of people struggle with in the composition world and arranging world, I'm sure. But it was a new thing for me. I'm usually better about getting stuff out and then editing it. Mm-hmm. And this time, I think because I had set the stakes so high for myself,
right,
that it just didn't want to come out at all. And so for each track, I had this like, oh crap, what if my idea for the instrumentation isn't any good? You know, right. What if something as basic as I want clarinet, cello, and bass? What if that's not what I really want? And so it took a while for each track actually, but eventually I was able to sort of write stuff down, go through the usual process. And then once I actually had material written down to mess with, it all came together.
Okay. So what was there anything that like, was there anything that helps you overcome that writer's block per se?
Since I haven't experienced writer's block a ton, it was definitely a new thing. So I don't have a ton of advice for it, but what I found really helped me was if you hear an inkling of anything in your head, write it down. It doesn't need to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do, I write all my music out in Sibelius first, which is a notation software, just because that's how my brain works is in sheet music. But I told myself I don't have to delete anything. I can just push it over. So sort of like if you're in a Word document, you just hit enter a bunch of times to move something right down. I just was like, here's the idea. I don't know if I like it yet, but I'm going to decide tomorrow.
Okay.
For now, I'll just keep writing stuff down, but I can decide later. And that really helped separate the editing and critiquing phase from the creating phase.
Right.
That's what I think helped me overcome the initial writer's block for this.
Okay, that's interesting. So the first lesson you learned was that deadlines are not often met.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that albums are basically, and every album is different, but albums are basically like an exercise in endurance, really. Just being able Absolutely. To keep at it, determination. So, okay, that's very interesting. So, I guess that my question would be, this is like a very pointed question, but I don't care.
Yeah, no worries.
Do you think that the amount of time that was provided was sufficient, or do you think, like, if this were to happen again, and this is actually something I'm going to ask all the quickfire artists, do you mm-hmm. think, like, another month would have helped? Do you think that that time was sufficient to get your ideas onto paper, or was it almost like having the deadline force you to just accept whatever version you had and move forward with it rather than endlessly tinker with it?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. For me, in my situation, being unemployed thanks to COVID, it was plenty of time.
Okay.
Most of the urgency that I felt was because of my missing my own deadlines mm-hmm. for where I wanted to be. And so I was always telling myself, wow, I'm 2 weeks behind. I need to work on this.
Right.
But if I had been doing like a full-time job on top of this, like I know many people do, I'm not so sure that it would have been
enough quite time. Okay.
Yes. And so I can't really say for someone who didn't have an abundance of free time, but thanks COVID. It was manageable for me, and it actually was a really good way to take my mind off of the dumpster fire that our country is in right now. But not to get political. Still, sorry.
It's not political. That's just reality. We are definitely in a dumpster fire. Okay.
It was, I'm really glad that I got to spend my summer making music.
Okay.
So thank you for the challenge.
Well, no problem. And, you know, honestly, and this is, I don't know how to phrase this exactly, but somebody like yourself, like this is the ideal artist that I was looking to kind of entice, I guess, with this proposal of like make an album, is somebody like you clearly have the musical background and ability, but maybe not necessarily like the skill set to like, I you know, if I were to do another quickfire album challenge, I wouldn't expect somebody like Carlos Insane in the Rain Music to submit sure. because Carlos has a process. He's put out several albums. He knows what to do. You know, Game Guru's goal, the goal with this was to provide resources to artists and kind of, I guess, the hard deadline to say, this is the amount of time that you have to make an album. I will handle, you know, the album art and the mastering and the distribution side of things, sort of. I mean, you all are still distributing, but, you know, I've worked with Sounddrop on this and many other projects. So it makes me really happy that it came together and that you were able to, you know, overcome your writer's block fear. And, you know, I just want to say, I shouldn't really say this because I'm not writing nearly as much as I should, but I think as a writer of fiction, I can definitely relate. There's been many stories where I usually just get to a point where I'm like, oh, I don't like any of these ideas. And so it's like, especially if you get out of that, I think momentum is so critical too. And that's why, you know, for artists like yourself and other people, the consistent release schedule of YouTube is really helpful for building up like your skill set. And then hopefully with this album, you were able to build a different skill set, which is the time Absolutely. Management and like being able to compartmentalize and say, okay, you know, I can't just write when creativity strikes me. Like, I know I need to get this done by a certain time. So what are the pieces that need to come together to make that happen? That's kind of the pre-production. You talked about arrangement. Did you record, I'm assuming since you didn't have any feature artists that everything was yourself?
I do have a few featured artists.
Oh, okay.
I maybe wasn't clear about that. So,
That's okay.
The Star Festival, my second track, is in a percussion arrangement, and I have a very good friend of mine, Richard Crowder, who I found on YouTube actually. He performed all of those parts, for me, which was great. And then he sent them back, and I mixed it and stuff. And then the Comet Observatory, the fourth track, is a piano solo that I wrote specifically for Daniel Capo.
Oh, I love Daniel Capo.
Yeah, so I love Daniel Capo. He did such a great job. It's amazing. And then my fifth track, Gusty Garden Galaxy, is the cello, clarinet, and bass trio. And so I'm on bass. And then my cousin, who's an amazing cellist, played cello. And then I got Peter from Soundole VGM or Soundole. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how you say it. He's the clarinetist.
Awesome.
So I have technically four guest artists. And then everything else on it was recorded by me.
No, that's great.
Yeah, one of the objectives I had going into it was that there wouldn't be any electronic element.
Right.
We maybe fudged that a little bit with the Star Festival since Richard used a mallet station, which is like a MIDI marimba sort of.
Right.
So those are technically virtual instruments, but I think they sound very real.
Yeah.
So I like to say that the whole album is 100% like acoustic recordings.
Okay. No, I just won't call about. You out on it.
Yeah.
No, that's all good. No, I'm great. It's great to hear that you were able to collaborate with other people, especially percussionists. I'm like, I'm on a kick lately that I want to see more bass and drums done in VGM. Like, and I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but it does feel like sometimes there are certain instruments that kind of feel like afterthoughts. Uh-huh. Or just aren't as highlighted, and it's like, I'm like, do you know there's percussionists out there and drummers, and obviously you're a bassist. I know Dachin plays bass. There's several people that can, and I'm like, I want, like you said, if you have a part that you don't feel like super comfortable playing with, you reached out to someone else and said, hey, I can write this part. Because like you said, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing electronic or synth or virtual stuff, but having a live performance really does add something different.
It's really great. And I as a composer, I firmly believe in the performer's ability to add something.
Right.
And so while I personally am a little bit of a control freak for how everything sounds, I also want, when I send a part out to a performer, I want them to play it how they would. I don't want them to do exactly what I want.
Yeah.
I want them to add something to it.
It's like directing, kind of, you know, you want to get a certain performance, but you like those little, what do you call them? Spontaneous moments, I guess.
Exactly. And so, and so with Richard and with Daniel, especially, there was a lot of back and forth on like interpretation. Mm-hmm. I kind of would send them like when I sent them the part, I also sent in the email some notes of what I wanted for certain spots that maybe weren't clear. And then they would always come back with like, does this sound right? Is this what you were thinking? And it aligned really well, which is great. But I definitely, like, I love having that performer aspect rather than, say, programming it all myself.
Right.
And not to shade anyone who does that. I think that's awesome. It's just part of what I like about it is letting someone else kind of deal with it too.
No, I mean, it's a collaborative process. I think at this point, everybody realizes, you know, the VGM space is extremely collaborative. You have a few people that kind of do everything themselves, but for the most part, it's very much a group effort, and those collaborations are some of my favorite, like seeing different artists come together, sometimes, you know,
absolutely
a unique or unexpected ways. Okay, so the recording, that's interesting. Let's see, post-production.
Yeah.
Mixing. Mm-hmm. You said you had something like 50 tracks?
Something like that. I like, it was usually one per instrument, and then every once in a while I would split one up.
Okay.
Say, in my first track, I did a string bass quartet in the middle section. So there's sort of this like beautiful string texture. The bottom bass part I had to split into two tracks. One was like bass boosted and the other one wasn't. When it was being the bass voice, those low frequencies were very present and could carry the sound. And then when it wasn't the bass voice anymore and it didn't need to be the bottom, it would... You know, it was on a separate track with different EQ and compression.
Okay.
That's cool. Stuff like that, mostly one track per instrument. And it was a big adventure into trying to make things be cohesive that weren't necessarily made to be cohesive.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you do that? Because this is something, you know, I'm as amateur as amateur gets as far as being a musician, but, I just struggle so much with mixing and mastering, mainly mastering, but mixing is like super tough. Like, I feel like once I start messing with the EQ, I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I know that you can do things to highlight certain instruments or to make sure you don't have too many instruments smushing together, because that's a very technical term. But like, did you have to look up any tips or techniques on how to mix or mix certain instruments in EQ?
So I have been, since I discovered using Logic, which is what I use as my DAW, I've always watched tons of tutorials on mixing and all that stuff.
Okay.
So I'm always trying to learn something that I can use, and most of the time it helps. But I would say that the hardest part about mixing for this album was coming up with these instrument combinations that are really unconventional or shouldn't work. For example, in the first track, I thought of it as like a bass orchestra. Every track is played on a bass guitar or string bass of some sort. And so the unintended side effect of that was that all of the instruments, like fundamental frequencies are super low.
Mm.
And then when they do have overtones, those overtones are usually existing in the same space as the other instruments. And so between nine tracks of bass guitar, they don't get along because low frequencies really don't like sharing their space. And so for me, mixing that just from a general approach was finding ways to highlight certain frequencies in some instruments and then hiding similar frequencies in the others.
Okay.
To help an instrument stand out without being too much of a change that it would destroy what the instrument sounds like. So the higher lead piccolo bass parts, I wanted to sound more like a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed to be able to kind of scoop some of the lows and mids out so that there was room for the lower basses without making it sound really hollow and tinny.
Right, like it's coming right through a radio or something.
Yeah, and so yeah, it was really tough, and it took a lot of like trial and error to kind of make those changes without the changes being too drastic. And that's just an example. I was doing that in every direction, you know, things too high, things too low.
So that actually brings up a good question for me. That was an interesting first track. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. What am I thinking to say? It just kind of catches you off guard, I guess, because you hear Super Mario Galaxy and it's like, know what I mean? And I was like, what? And it's as you get into the song, it's just, I don't know. And I think that's maybe what you were trying to do with this album, is provide some like unexpected arrangements,
mm-hmm.
what you wouldn't expect for Super Mario Galaxy cover album. So did you have a lot of forethought into, I guess, album arrangement, but also what instruments you wanted for each track? Like, was there a specific reason you chose to go with such a bass heavy opening track, or was it just that was the arrangement that you had in mind for that track?
Yeah, since this is my first like real release onto streaming platforms and as an album and all that sorts, I really wanted it to be something I was proud of and that was representative of me as mm-hmm. an artist. And one of my, you know, most well-known fact is that I'm a bass player.
Right.
So I knew that any track I was playing on needed to have bass.
That's good.
And so that's what another reason that like, so the first, third and fifth track are the ones I play on. They all have bass, and it sort of encapsulates the other two that are featuring other artists. So I knew that I needed to feature bass, and then I wanted it to really encapsulate like the what goes on in my head, I guess, when I'm hearing these melodies and they're maybe separated from the original recordings, what fills the space when it's in my head.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so like for the fifth track, Gusty Garden Galaxy, it seems like a really weird ensemble. But the story behind that is that me and my cousin would busk in Salem, our hometown, every summer. We would go to the Saturday market and we would just play arrangements for cello and bass that I had written of video game music, mostly, sometimes movie stuff, things that people would recognize.
Right.
And it was super fun. We loved it. We did it every summer for like 4 years, and we made a bunch of money doing that because people liked us. And so that was kind of an homage to that experience in our life. Right. And that's why I wanted to include him in it. It was like,
that's
hey,
so awesome.
And so when I was arranging it, that I was putting myself in that space of like, this is busking. How would I represent this huge track with three parts?
Right. Which, again, goes back to your core concept of, like, simplifying. Like, there isn't 50 tracks on one track. It's, like, how can we simplify this to, like, its most basic essence of, you mm-hmm. know, melodies, leads, and, you know, accompaniment.
Right.
That's so cool. I'm trying to think. I just listened to the album this morning, and I was trying to decide if I have a favorite. I mean, Battle Rock is just, it's a favorite of mine. I don't know. All the tracks are so good and so different on this. Do you have a favorite? Do you have one? Like, what did any of them resonate more with you than others?
I was thinking like maybe I shouldn't say I have a favorite. I definitely do. And there's a very good reason for it.
Okay.
So my favorite on the album is Comet Observatory, the piano solo track.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for it is I probably spent the most time on that one in terms of arrangement. I had thought of it as being sort of like a theme in variations, since the actual theme from start to finish is only like, I think, a minute or minute and a half long. And so I just really wanted to be able to live in it and kind of expand on all the different directions that it could go.
Right.
And I had written it out very meticulously and specifically. And then I sent Daniel probably like, I don't know, 500 characters worth of notes of like, in this spot, I want this. In this spot, I want this. Here, do what you want. Like that sort of deal. And he sent me back a test recording of maybe the first minute.
Right.
Maybe like, you know, a couple of days after I had sent it to him. And I almost cried. I like had a tear in my eye from how perfect it was compared to what was in my brain.
Yeah.
Like Daniel, absolutely. The entire performance is spot on for what I envisioned. And I like, it was incredible. There weren't really words to describe it. So I am so thankful to Daniel for that awesome performance. I think it's for that reason that it's my favorite track, is just that it is 100% what was in my head from start to finish. Whereas the other tracks, maybe some parts had shifted throughout the process or
right.
changed.
Awesome. Well, I hope Daniel listens to this because that's high praise.
Yeah, we have a Twitter DM that we've been on for a few weeks, and I back and forth, we've been like, thank you so much for doing this. It sounds great. And he's like, oh, thank you for including me. So we've already given each other tons of praise.
Now it's time for a collab album. That's the
next
step.
I would love to do, with any of the artists on this, I would love to do more stuff. I want to do more stuff with everybody. So
awesome. Well, maybe that'll be next year's quickfire.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, okay.
What's I going to say? As far as album arrangement goes, so this is like my forte. Like, I'm not a musician per se. I'm sort of a producer, but I'm super, super particular about album arrangement. And I know for some people it tends to be like an afterthought, like just throw a bunch of songs together and it'll be fine. And I'm like, no. Like, to me, an album is a form. Like, there is an art to arranging it. Even if you take tracks that you don't think go together, like, you can still find the best way for things to go together, I guess.
Sure.
So did you spend, like, did you have a plan as far as album arrangement? Like, was there a specific journey you were trying to take the listener through?
I think there was definitely thought put into the arrangements. Regarding the album arrangement, when I had picked the five tracks, I had a loose idea of where they might be. And then once I nailed down the instrumentation of each track and like the mood that I was going for, was where I really solidified it. I'm a big fan of bookending something, whether it's, in this case, it's the beginning and the ends, I would say are more exciting. And then the middle section is sort of the calmer, more intimate side. Right.
Which kind of...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't that sort of akin to three acts, like classical music?
Yeah, very similar to like a concerto or something. So I wanted to start it off with like, here's Super Mario Galaxy. You've heard this one. You know this one. You like it. It's big and bombastic. There's a lot of stuff going on. And then sort of, you know, after the Star Festival, bring it down for Battle Rock Galaxy, which I had modeled to sound like people sitting around a campfire.
Yeah, I noticed sort that. Of play, little playing ambient music. Noise.
Yeah, there. Yeah. I was camping with my family and decided to record fire for 2 minutes. And
that's great.
I'm so glad it worked.
Didn't I message you if that was like I was like, was this intentional? If so, it's great. But I was making sure it wasn't like something crackling.
My guitar recording's really crackly. And then so it's sort of like chilling out by a campfire, you know, a calm, peaceful night. And then the piano piece to sort of be that super emotional tug and pull compared to the previous tracks that were a little bit more static. And then just to finish out strong with Gusty Garden Galaxy being, you know, three instruments. So it's not that big, but it's all three instruments going pretty hard, in my opinion, you know, kind of going for it.
Yeah, sending it.
And so having that arc of intensity was really important to me, and it's something that I didn't have a formal area of like, okay, I'm gonna arrange the album now. It was it was in mind while writing, and I'm really glad that it was, because
you're making conscious decisions yeah. while you were doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. No, yeah. That's awesome. And I think that's something I want more people to do. Not saying people don't. And I get that there are certain albums where you can't, or it's not as an important thing. You know, I wanna highlight someone else that I think did this really well and like paid attention to form or just thought a lot about structure. Roe with his newest Undertale album, Fallen Hero.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard it. It's 85 minutes long.
I've heard it several times. It's awesome.
But it doesn't feel like 85 minutes because he splits up the different sections. And absolutely. It's sort of like a story. Like, unfortunately, and then this is something you didn't have, the problem you didn't have, especially with smaller albums, you tend to not have that problem as much. But you have a saggy middle. You know, writers have the same problem with stories. It's like you have a great beginning and a great ending. It's like, well, how do we get through the second act? So having that, you know, centerpiece, which is Battle Rock, is really nice. And like you said, I think your arrangement worked out really well. So
thank you.
We've talked about the pre-production. We've talked about the production. Now let's talk post-production and the craziness of trying to find an album artist, get the masters and all that. I mean, so let's start with album art because, you know, I offered to all the Quickfire album artists, hey, here's your choice. You can use Don Corgi, who's my man. He does all of my logo stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's very associated with the Game Gurus brand. I said, you can do that, or I will give $100 towards album art of your own. Because $100 is like, and I've done this from experience. You know, you can go way higher than that. You can go not much lower than that. That's kind of like the bare minimum. But I figured, you know, if you want to go above and beyond and you want to really go crazy, fine. I don't want to prevent anybody from finding their own artist. So you chose to go with somebody who I think worked out really well, and it definitely represents the music very well. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about... I remember you sent me like this person's work. I can't remember the name.
No worries. Tim Kelly.
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, yeah, this looks like it would be a great fit. So can you describe that process?
Yeah. So I actually a few months ago, like totally unrelated, I found a post that he had posted on Reddit. Tim Kelly posted, he had an Etsy shop with like Breath of the Wild prints that he had made, and so it's these very beautifully done like line art like drawings of basically scenes in Breath of the Wild. So it's not really character focused, it's just the landscapes. Mm-hmm. And if you've played Breath of the Wild, you know that like it's all about exploration and the beautiful hills and locations and stuff. And so he was able to encapsulate sort of that feeling of like serenity and exploration really well. And so I knew like in the future when I need art, I want to reach out to this guy.
Okay.
And then lo and behold, this wonderful opportunity that requires art is presented to me, and I'm like, okay, I know exactly who I want to do the art. It's Tim Kelly. And so I reached out to him and said like, hey, are you interested? And he loved the idea of a Super Mario Galaxy album because he, like many other people, loved that game. And he was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. And so he sent me a sketch, and it was exactly what I had envisioned, because I kind of gave him the concept of the album as well. And then he started working on it. It was, I think it turned out better than I could have imagined. So
yeah, agreed. Has he heard the album yet?
He has heard rough mixes. When I had the rough mixes ready for mastering, I sent them to him. Just to make sure that what he was working on kind of aligned with that in his like mind's eye.
Right.
And then he said like, wow, this is better than I thought it was going to be. Cause I'm sure that, you know, you can't know what to expect when someone asks you to do art for their album.
Right.
Right. So he's like, this is great. I can't wait. And so he's actually probably going to link to it in a post that he's making later as well.
Sweet. I'm excited.
But yeah.
Okay. And then mastering was handled by Alejandro. AH mm-hmm. Music. I used to use him quite a bit for Game Lark, and I think he did a really good job. And also, he had a tough job because I messaged him and I was like, "Hey, Alejandro, you want to master 6 albums that are all different styles?" He's like, "Sure." He's so positive and like yeah. ready for anything. And I don't know. It's tough because like I used James C. Hoffman for most of my Game Groove stuff, but I saw an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm gonna get Alejandro in on this stuff.
Yeah.
And I think he did a great job. Were you surprised by any of the decisions that he made, or were you happy overall with the sound of the album?
No, I think he did a tremendous job. The thing that I was feeling when I had finished my mixes that I wasn't totally happy with was that they felt small, and that, you know, small instrumentation, usually very similar frequency ranges going on. And that's just something that in mixing I felt was one of my shortcomings, is making things sound bigger than they are. Right. And then when we got the masters back, that was kind of what I was looking for.
That expansive sound.
I was hoping that he could just make them sparkle pop. And make them like shine. Yeah, pop out. And he absolutely managed that. So I couldn't be happier with the job he did.
Okay, Alejandro, if you're listening, good job.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I knew he would do it. That's the thing. I knew he was going to do a good job for everybody. But yeah, I agree. It definitely added that little extra that kind of made it just sound a little bit more powerful, a little bit more punchy. Mm-hmm. Like the arrangements were there. It was solid there. It was just like the last little bit, the little extra to make it extraordinary.
Right. There was also, I'm sorry, I have one more thing. There was a little bit of dirt in places that I noticed on my acoustic bass recordings, just because I'm not the best at playing the acoustic bass, that there are some little clicks and pops that like I couldn't get out of the recording, and he managed to make them disappear.
Oh,
so I'm not going to tell you where they were, but
yeah, now I'm going to go back and listen to the pre-masters. Right.
It's great. I love
it. He's great. I was going to say, if for anyone that's listening, if you like this album, consider commissioning Alejandro. I don't know if he's taking commissions now, or Tim Kelly. That's the artist,
yeah.
Right? Tim Kelly?
Yeah, okay. Tim Kelly. You can find him on Instagram and Etsy.
Okay, awesome. So, yeah, all right. And then you timed this perfectly with the Super Mario 3D All-Stars coming out, which, side note, I've been definitely playing. I haven't touched Galaxy yet. I'm trying to work my way through chronologically. I tried a little bit of Sunshine just to see how much I remembered. 64 was like, I felt like a kid again. And they awesome. Didn't change much about it, which I don't have a problem with because it's just cleaned up the textures, mm-hmm. you know, the fonts and everything are sharper, but it still holds up. It's incredible that a game that's like, 24 years old still has a lot of magic to it. Like, yeah, it's clunky in certain parts. The camera is not the best, but you can still like, easily get into the flow of it and hop around and have a good time. And I know I'm looking forward to Galaxy. I watched Video Game Donkey's video about Galaxy and how great it was. And I was just like, yeah, this is a great game. It's one of the few games, trivia for me, one of the few games that I've 100%ed both times. So I did it with Mario and then Luigi. And some of those challenges were tough. But I think it probably is my favorite Mario title. Even though 64 was my first like console game, I feel like Galaxy really was just, it just really felt special, even among all the other Mario games. Right. And yeah, I just remember, I remember going to the mall, and I didn't have a Wii at the time, but they had like this Wii stand set up, and they had Mario Galaxy available to play. And I was the only person there. This is important.
Yeah.
I was there for like 30 minutes until the woman, like, I think it was like a Nintendo employee came up to me. He's like, "Sir, there are other people that need to play." And I look around and I'm like, there's nobody here. But I was like, all right, fine. They want me to shuffle on. So I got a little taste, and then I had to wait a year or two before I got a Wii. But that was like, I was hooked. I was just like, this is so much fun. So I think that sense of adventure and optimism and excitement is definitely present in the album. You definitely managed to retain all that core essence, but it's a great adaptation because, you know, there's basically two ends when it comes to covers, right? You have covers that stick super close to the original,
mm-hmm.
and you have covers that stray so far that you can't really even tell what it's a cover of. And everybody finds a balancing act, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. But to me, if you can retain the core essence, I think that's what's important. It's kind of like, to use a weird analogy, I'm watching The Boys right now on Amazon, and I think that they did a great job adapting the comics because they took the best parts of the comics and got rid of some of the parts that weren't that great. But in your case, the whole soundtrack's great. It's a matter of how do I translate this to two or three instruments versus an entire orchestra.
Right.
So good timing on that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Super. That's some prescient timing.
Yeah. They announced the Super Mario 35th stuff and the 3D All-Stars. And I was like, yes, this couldn't be better. I'm so glad I had done this project.
Yeah. I had no idea. I mean, there were rumors that it was coming, but, I didn't know if it was real until they announced it. You know, Nintendo, they drop stuff like a month or two before it comes out. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, let me think. That pretty much covers it. I was going to ask you a few more questions about the process. Sure. And have you listened to other people's albums? I forget if I shared it with everybody yet.
Let me check my Discord really quick.
I don't know if we have. I think I'm just waiting until they come out so that everybody can experience them fresh.
I haven't heard any recently. Okay. I remember listening, is it Chernobog? Their stuff. Cool. Yeah, I listened to the Dropbox link that they sent. Okay. So it was really neat to hear.
So you're going to be the first album that the group hears then, which is exciting. And I'm really excited to put these albums out. And just so everybody knows, again, kind of providing context, with Game Crews as a producer, all the splits, the proceeds are going to Andy and I guess the collaborators, maybe. I don't know if you worked that out, but
the point is
Game Crews isn't taking a cut. I was just there to facilitate it, and the goal was just to find artists that were hungry to make an album. Obviously I found a lot of people. And I'm just, it's so great, like, for me, you know, my enjoyment is just seeing these things come to life, and to feel like you're somewhat involved in it, but also just to see people grow, you know? And obviously, you know, more VGM is always a good thing. But I think that there's a lot of lessons to be learned from having a tight deadline or a hard deadline, and having to produce music and having to put it together in a form. It's a little bit different than just say doing, you know, 5 bi-weekly covers or even 5 weekly covers in a row. Like it's a totally different set of skills.
Right.
So I guess I would say, and this is good because I'm doing this live. Do you have any suggestions for future Quickfire albums? Like, if you had to say, here's what I would do differently, or here's what I think you'd was fine, or maybe these resources would have been more helpful. I know, probably like a sound drop creation tutorial.
I think the email that you sent out about how to do the sound drop thing was really nice and helpful. The issue for me is that it was like 2 days after I did it for me, just because that's where we were in the process, which isn't, I figured it out. There wasn't a ton of headache, so that wasn't too bad. I felt pretty set up to go by the time that we started the process.
Okay.
I didn't need a ton of guidance because I was pretty set in what I wanted, I think.
Right.
The only, I think, bummer that wasn't even really a huge deal was that I didn't get to hear from you very often. And I kind of assumed you would be more like bugging me, like, hey, where's your work in progress? You know,
which I know. So I need to annoy people next time.
I think it wouldn't have been pestering. I think it would have been a little bit more comforting to know that, like, you really are interested. And I know that, like, objectively, but to see that as well could have been helpful, and to also kick me in the butt and be like, hey, you need to get moving.
that's good advice. I have excuses, but I won't get into them.
No, you're
moving,
you're
into
totally
a new
good
house, and
it no, truly, it ended up fine, wasn't a problem. That's the only feedback I really have, I think.
No, that's good feedback, because I'm used to like working with, so for the collaborative albums, like, I'll give deadlines. I don't usually do check-ins because I'm just like, the people I'm working with, I'm like, I know they're going to deliver. So it's more right. like a trust thing, but I do get what you're saying. And I feel like that's definitely good advice for the next go around, because there will be another one. Probably, yeah. I'm thinking right now, probably annually. I don't think I want to cool. do it more than once a year, because it's that's just probably a lot.
For the best.
It's a lot of work for everybody involved. I want to give you know, people a little bit more time next time, but not too much time. Because I feel like there is, you know, and I'm sure other album organizers can attest to this. There does come a point where it's like, if I were to say you have a whole year to do this album, people are going to wait till the last 2 or 3 months. Absolutely. You know what I mean? There's a point where it's like you have more time than you need. So you just set it aside in the back of your mind. And that's what I didn't want to happen. Mm-hmm. But knowing that, you know, this was a special year, given what's going on with the pandemic and everything, people had time that they're probably not going to have maybe in the future, hopefully.
right.
Hopefully next year we won't be as shut down. But anyways, well, thank you for the honest feedback.
Yeah. No, thank you
for entering the challenge. As I said, I'm really, really excited for everyone to get to hear these albums. And I'm happy that yours is leading the charge. I think it's a nice like way to get into it. Just for everyone that's listening to know, the plan right now is for us to release a new, again, these albums are not being released by Game Grooves per se. They're going to be promoted, shared by Game Grooves. Obviously, we're doing an uncovered podcast talking about it, but these will be on the artist profiles, not Game Grooves. So make sure you're checking out Andrew's Spotify profile when it pops up. Andy Rue. Also, I'll have a link, I'm sure, in this podcast. And there will be albums coming out roughly 2 weeks, every 2 weeks on Friday. So be sure to look out for that. And there's some really, there's no crossover as far as genres, more or less. There, I think every album is so different. And that's one of the things I was really conscious about, is trying to find a nice slice of VGM from many different styles and games, honestly. So I know that, I mean, you could do almost any kind of cover for Super Mario Galaxy, you know, from rock to lo-fi, but yeah, I think this is a good way to start it out. So thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Everybody, please check out Dreaming of Starbits. It is definitely well worth your time and your money, and support some good VGM artists. And like I said, we'll see if we can convince Andrew to do a collab album with those other people.
that'd be really neat. Thanks for the opportunity. I would not have made an album this year otherwise, because I didn't have any idea where to start. So this gave me the kick in the pants I needed, and the confidence to do it again later.
That's right. You've done it once, and you did it in a pretty short time frame. So
I know what it takes to make a 5-track album now. So I think I might be able to do it again. 6 tracks
next.
6 tracks. I can't wait to hear everyone else's Quickfire album.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much besides demos from Chernas. So
gotcha.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Tune in next time.